Amen. Romans chapter 6. We got anybody new in our Sunday school class today? Anybody new? Everybody's been here before? All right. Pam, you got somebody with you?
I've been here a couple weeks now.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
What's your name?
Kelly?
Good to have you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Amen. Amen. We got the check bounce, not bounce, but they couldn't cash the check up at the Youth Ablaze. We got it back. We got to send them another check. I told them, I said, well, why can't y'all just eat it? Why can't your church just eat it? Yes, I guess for the admission of the, it was $1,230, and I guess, did April write this out, or did Michael?
Michael Shane.
Yeah. Well, they said they wrote $1,230, but it then, you know, something, it didn't click right, so now we got to send them another check. But I told them I was messing with the treasurer. I said, oh, come on, y'all can eat that. Don't worry about that. $1,200? Nah, you can take care of that. So, Brother Roscoe, I don't think he'd like that. Amen. How many of y'all have had a good week?
Amen.
Good, good, good. Amen. Romans chapter 6. I feel like I'm always running behind and trying to catch up. How many of y'all feel that same way?
Amen.
Always running behind. Had a guy this morning call me, Eric, said he didn't like being called a loser. You called him a loser. He didn't like it. Yeah. I asked him, I said, are you a loser? And I think about he's been here before, and this guy texts me, and he's you know, he's been in church a couple of times, and then he texts me, said he don't know if he believed in God, and he's after women more than he is after seeking God. And so he's come to church, so and the guy won't get saved. He says, you know, a bunch of stuff. It must have really bothered him, because he called here and talked to me about it. And so I told him, I said, well, you know where we're at, come on out to church, man. I was getting ready to say, don't be a loser. Anyway, but you know, just pray for him. His name is Don. You know what I'm talking about? You know? Okay. So, nice guy. All right. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And no, that's a question mark. No, you don't continue in sin. God said, we're all sinners, and we don't believe like the holiness. They believe once you get saved, then that eradicates all sin in your life, and you don't, no matter what you do, don't sin no more. And what people don't realize is when you got saved, God cut your soul loose from your flesh. Your soul can't sin. That's why you can't lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. There's a lot of churches teaching you can lose your salvation. I tell them, I said, that's what keeps you right? Man, believe it, all right? You can go ahead and believe it. But I know the truth. I know I can't lose my salvation. And I've told you about a friend of mine that thought he had lost it, and he thought he could. And then there are some churches that teach that if you lose it, you can never get it back. And you can never get saved again. And that's in the book of Hebrews. So take your Bible, look in Hebrews, I think it's 6, somebody find that for me, Hebrews 6, they believe that once you get saved and then you sin, you mess up, then you can't get saved again. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them again on the repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him to open shame. And I think that's, yeah, wait a minute, I got the wrong page here. Yeah, put him to open shame, for the earth drinketh up. So, but there's also, look at Hebrews chapter 10. Now, there's some people in the tribulation period, you know, if they receive the mark of the beast in the tribulation, there's a different salvation in the tribulation period. So a lot of churches teach that, you know, salvation is the same all the way through the Bible. It's not.
Amen.
It's not the same.
That's right.
They teach in the Old Testament, salvation is the same as looking forward. You know, the Old Testament saints were saved looking forward to the cross. That's not true.
That's right.
That's not true at all. They got saved by going to the Jerusalem. That's why you have the proselytes in the book of Acts going back to Jerusalem, taking the sacrifice. You find the Ethiopian eunuch going back to Jerusalem. Salvation was of the Jews. The Jews even said that salvation is of the Jews, and Jesus said that. And then Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, he says, it's not fit to give the, and a woman that wanted to be healed, he says, it's not fit to give the food from the table to the dogs. And she said, the dogs get to eat from the crumbs of the table, Lord. They're talking about Gentiles. So if a person in the Old Testament wanted to be saved, now before, when Abraham, you know, you had Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, or Jacob, yeah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But then salvation was of the Jews. And the Lord said, Jerusalem is going to be the place. That's the place you want to come. And but the guys that teach that salvation was the same all the way through the Bible, they're not studying their Bible right.
Amen.
They're not teaching it right. Now, in the tribulation period, the Bible, Jesus said in Matthew 24, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. End of what? End of his life? No. End of the tribulation without receiving the mark, starving to death, or getting your head cut off. So for a person to say that you're saved the same way, you're saved now, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself is a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you're saved by grace now. Thank God. This is the greatest period in the history of the church for a person to be saved. Been 2,000 years for salvation by grace. And Old Testament, that's why David said in Psalm 51, take your Bible, look in Psalm 51. Now, once you get saved, you got the Holy Ghost of God inside you. It can't be taken away from you. Look in Psalm 51. David, when David sinned with Bathsheba, and he messed around with Bathsheba, and then, you know, God allowed the baby to die. Bathsheba, and then David had her husband killed. Not only did he fornicate with Bathsheba, he also committed murder.
Right.
He committed murder. You say, well, he didn't kill him. Yeah, he had him killed. So David is a murdering, fornicating man in the Old Testament, and he's the only one. Samson, you know, he lost the power of God. Saul lost the spirit of God. But David says this. He says, Psalm 51, and look at verse, where is it? He says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 11. Look at verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, David was worried that he's going to lose the Holy Ghost to God. He's seen what happened to Saul. An evil spirit from God came to Saul. And David had to come in and drive the thing out when he sang and praised God. And he drove that evil spirit around. But did he have the Holy Ghost? No. And now, see, the Holy Ghost came upon him and left him. It came upon him and left him. In the Old Testament, it would come upon him and leave him. Now, God made it where you can't lose it. He comes inside you, and then he does an operation on you so you can't lose your lose the Holy Ghost and lose your salvation. You can't lose it. But can you imagine, I've said this before, 7.5 billion people on the planet, can you imagine how many people today that are saved, probably 10% of that, and then maybe 10% of the 10% believe that you can't lose it. The rest of them believe they can lose it. But then you say, what can you lose it for? They say, blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. I said, well, have you ever committed that? Oh, no. Well, can that be committed? I said, man, the night my brother got killed, I went outside, I was drunk as a skunk, and I was cursing God, calling him every vile, stinking word you can imagine. I was calling God all kinds of names. And God still had mercy on me. If anybody blasphemed the Holy Ghost, I did. I called God every name in the book. And here, God had mercy on me. Now, you said, can a person commit blaspheming the Holy Ghost? The closest thing to blaspheming the Holy Ghost right now is rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the closest thing. The only when Jesus said, there every sin can be forgiven but that one. Now, somebody find me that verse. It's in the New Testament, John. Maybe it's in John where he talks about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Somebody find me that. And people go around, they say, oh, man, you blaspheming the Holy Ghost. I had people standing right here one day. They believed they could lose their salvation. And I was standing right up here. They lived right next door to church here. And they were truck drivers. And they were standing here, and I said, we believe in losing their salvation. I said, you do? And I said, I don't. And they said, can you prove it? So I showed them where you can't. And I said, without a doubt, you can't even argue with it. You can't even argue, well, I show you. And you know for sure you can't lose it. He said, well, does that give you a license to sin? That's what they said to me. Oh, so you got a license to sin. That's a stupid statement. What a stupid statement. He that soweth the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. For you to say that you can go out and sin, you got a license. Like you know, okay, every time you sin, you get drunk, mess around, fornicate and everything. And then the Lord, the Holy Ghost says, hey, what you been doing? You go, hey, I got a license. I got a license. Here's my license. Here it is. I got a license. I can sin when I want to. Now, does God want you to sin? No. But the Bible says if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. 1 John. We have an advocate. Now, that doesn't say you can just, you know, you ought to try not to sin. So you ought to keep your, you know, your eyes, your ears, and your mouth from sinning in your hands. You ought to try. Try it. Try to go one day without sinning. Matter of fact, try to go 1 hour without sinning. Because you'll even in here, you'll look at something that you should. You'll look at a woman. You'll check it. You know, men are always, the minds are working. And men are always checking things out. Always, and a man's always trying to figure out how to get around something and how to get away with something. Now, as a saved person, you say, well, I don't do that no more. Well, good. Praise the Lord. I hope, man, you've gotten past that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But a man's always figuring, that's why they always say women fall in love with what they hear and men fall in love with what they see. So a woman is more, you know, that's why you always found the women hang, you know, stand with the church until the end. And you find when Jesus Christ was being crucified, the men all forsook him and the women stayed. And in that sense, the women got more guts than the men at times. But find out. All right, go to Mark chapter 3, verse 29. And what verse 30 explains it. Look at verse 28. He says, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blaspheme wheresoever they shall blaspheme. And it says, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost have never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, he hath unclean spirit. Then came his brethren and his mother standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him. They said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren, and so on. Verse 30 says, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. And Jesus Christ, when he was on this planet, they said, you're casting out devils by the prince of the devils. And they said, you're doing this. And they started saying, what's in you is not God. It's unclean spirits. And Jesus said, all sins will be forgiven. That's over. I think it's in the book of Luke as well. He said, all sins will be forgiven but that one. Somebody find me that.
Luke 10, 12. 10.
Luke 10, 12.
12, 10.
12, 10. Go to Luke 10, 12. 12. Or 12, 10. Got it backwards. How many in this room, be honest, that you've cursed God out? Yeah. And here you are sitting in church this morning.
Amen.
Ain't that something? That shows you mercy of God. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But on him that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. For when they bring you into the synagogue and on the magistrate's powers, they should take no thought, and so on. And the Lord tells him, he said, it won't be forgiven. You blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. And the only time that could have been done is when Jesus Christ was on this planet. When they said, what you're doing is by the prince of the devils and unclean spirits. So Jesus got fed up with them, and he said, that's it. All sins be forgiven. You talking about me? Fine. But you talking about what's in me? And what I'm doing by the power of God, by his power, that won't be forgiven.
Amen.
And he tells the Pharisees, he said, the prostitutes will go to heaven before you guys. Man, that's pretty strong. So, blaspheme against the Holy Ghost and about losing your salvation. You can't lose something that's, and this guy that was sitting here that I was talking to, and I was showing him scripture, and they said, I said, you still believe you can lose your salvation? They went, yes. And I said, do you sin? Do you sin? And both of them looked at it, husband and wife. They looked at each other, and they were real hesitant. And they looked at each other, and I said, don't lie. Don't lie, because lying is a sin. And they said, everybody sins. I said, then, did you lose it? Now, look at Hebrews chapter 10. This is what I showed them on how that losing their salvation. There are some verses in the Bible men can prove that you can lose, they try to prove. Now, in the tribulation, like I said, you can lose it. So for a person to say you're saved the same way all the way through the Bible, that's not true. Now, you say, is there grace all the way through the Bible? Yes, there's grace. Is there faith all the way through the Bible? Yes, there is. And that's why James says faith without works is dead. That's in tribulation. And we're going to look at that. We'll look at that too. But look in chapter 10. And look at chapter 10. Look at verse 26. I asked them, I said, explain this to me. Explain this to me. And they looked at it, and they stared at it, and they looked at it, and they stared. I wasn't trying to mess them up. I was trying to show them that for you to believe you can lose your salvation, that's pretty crazy. Now, there's a lot of charismatics. The holiness, they believe in it. What happens is they get past it. They say, well, then God just eradicates all sin out of my life, so I don't sin no more. So whatever I do is not sin. So if I mess around and do all this stuff, and it's not sin anymore. Now, you got to daily confess your sins. There was a thing going on where guys was teaching here, believing it, that you didn't have to confess your sins anymore. That's dangerous. Well, I confess my sins daily, brother. Yes, I mean, almost by the minute.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of crap that I put in here.
Amen.
And so have you.
Amen.
And then if you look at your phone, if you look and stuff pops up, and then you're meditating on that stuff, you got to be careful, man.
Amen.
And that's how the devil, the new thing is not the TV, it's not the movies, it's your phone. That's the new thing the devil's using. I believe that's what he's going to use to bring the mark of the beast in. I believe that's going to be the one. That's going to be the key to bring the mark of the beast in. Jobs, what's his name? Steve Jobs. He helped the Antichrist. But I mean, you said, like I said, the Antichrist when he shows up, it's going to be your number. But we're all heading that way. Now you say, can the phone be a good thing? Yeah, all that stuff can be. All electronics, all that stuff's a good thing. But you can use it, man. That's why they call it the web. It can entangle you.
Amen.
You see people walk around all the time. They can't do without their phone. Try leaving the house. I've done it, and sometimes you want to go back, and I have gone back to get my phone because I had somebody going to call me. But we'll leave the house and forget our phone, turn around, and go back. We'll leave our Bible. We won't turn around, and go back.
Yeah.
Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Look at verse 25 first. For not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see they approaching. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more what?
Sacrifice.
For sins. Uh-oh. I showed that to that couple. And I said, what does that mean? They sat there and they studied it and looked at it. If we sin willfully after receiving knowledge of the truth. I said, have you received the truth? Oh, yeah. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. I said, have you sinned? Don't lie. But just, you say, does that give me a license to sin? No. God's going to judge you for the sin in this flesh. You know, in Hebrews 6, it talks about a Christian dying to themselves. That's what it's talking about. Christian dying to yourself, dying to your desires, your lusts, all that's in the world, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, and pride of life. And we all got that battle. There's a battle every day. Man, I'm not kidding. There's a battle. It goes on here. And if you quit fighting it, then it gets into your heart, and then you just yield to it. You yield to sin. And you go, I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of fighting it. I'm just going to live why I want to live. I'm not going to go to church no more because every time I go to church, I get under conviction. And they preach about sin. They preach about doing wrong. And I'm tired of it. I'm not going to deal with it no more. I'm just going to live my life. And then the devil goes, right. When that Bible tells you about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that's what it's talking about. Amen. It's talking about fighting.
That's right.
It's fighting you.
Right.
It's fighting you. And what people do is they yield to themselves.
Amen.
You know what they do? They say, I deserve it. I deserve better. Look at my wife. I deserve better. Look at my husband. I deserve better. The devil will get in there and mess with your head.
Amen.
And he'll destroy you. That's what the fight's about.
Amen.
And you got to keep on fighting. You know what you do? You say, Lord, help me.
Amen.
Even if you got to do it out loud. Lord, help me.
That's right.
And if you don't get in this book, you have no strength, man. You're
like a
guy hadn't eaten for a week, laying on the floor trying to put a sword in your hand and trying to fight somebody.
Amen.
If you don't get in that book and you don't get some strength and pray,
amen.
That's why we always talk about study your Bible, pray, read your Bible. Because we know if you don't, you're going to be like this when the temptation, I just can't. I give in.
Yep.
And you just quit.
Yep.
You know what's happened to a lot of people?
Yep.
I went by, I saw a brother the other night. I was riding by, I dropped Linda off at the grocery store, and I rode by, and there he was standing out in front of a bar smoking a cigarette. I beeped the horn. Stopped, rolled my window down. Hey, brother. He was like this.
Yeah.
So do you fault him? No, I prayed for it.
Amen.
Cry over it.
Right,
I don't say that dirty, rotten traitor. Dirty, stinking traitor. I ought to go up and take a rock and bust him upside the head. Best thing you can do is pray for him.
Amen.
And if you got the attitude, I'm just going to bust him upside the head with a rock. Maybe some people need that. I don't know. Huh? Yeah. Hey, Dave, I'm going to tell that story. All right? When Dave just, he'd been saved for a while, but he hadn't really been in church. And Dave was working down at the hospital. And Ryan does. And Dave's come a long way. And so have a lot of y'all. We've all come a long way. You're reading your Bible, you're praying, you come a long way. Dave's, you know, what a blessing. I'm tickled. I'm not proud in the sense of I don't want to put sick the devil on him. I don't want to, you know, hurt him in that way. I'll pray for him. But Dave, he was working on the job down there at the hospital, and he's walking along there. He's a construction superintendent checking out the concrete and everything. And Samson Lynette just had Gracie, and they were up on the fourth floor, and Samson looks out the window and sees Dave. So Samson texts Dave, says, I'm watching you. Is that right?
I forgot how it went down. He said something.
Yeah, he said, I'm watching you. And I see what you're doing. or something like that. Dave has a hard hat on, he's got all this stuff, and he's walking around, and he stops, and Samson says, he looks down, and Dave's looking at his phone. So then he calls him, and he says, hey, man, I'm watching you. Dave, he cussed him a blue streak. And Samson went, whoa, like that. He said, Dave said, who is this? He says, this is Samson. I'm up on the fourth floor. Turn around and look. He said, he just watched Dave go like this. He just went. Just think, we know Jesus is watching us all the time.
Amen.
If we had that attitude every time we'd done something wrong.
God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry.
If you could keep that tender heart, that's why I always pray, God, put the fear of God in us. Give us a tender heart.
Amen. Yeah.
If you can do that, you're going to make it.
Amen.
If you get hard-hearted, you ain't going to make it. All right, go back to Romans chapter 6. I tell people, I said, fight. You keep fighting, you get in church. Stay in church. Why? Because a lot of churches don't preach on sin. They don't preach on, you know, all they do, it's just, you know, how we, you know, like you see Joe Osteen just always smiling. And that's, for Christians, it is great. Really. My brother calls me every Saturday night or every week and from prison. And a lot of times I'm going through something, I'm studying, I'm praying about this, and I get overburdened about stuff, and then my brother calls me up and says, I wish I was there. And the Lord reminds me, would you want to trade places?
Mm-hmm.
No, I won't. Thank you, Lord. The Lord's got a way to put you back in the place where you ought to be thinking right. He's got a way of doing it. And when you start thinking wrong, he's got a way to get a hold of you. You know, a lot of times you'll be thinking wrong, going down the road or doing something, and then all of a sudden somebody knows you, that's you're a Christian, they'll come up, hey, brother, how you doing? And you'll go, oh, hey. The Lord's got a way to get you. You know why that shows you? He cares about you. He cares about you making it.
Amen.
Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He's talking about, look at chapter 5, verse 21. As sin hath reigned on the death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's talking about the law and the grace there. But look at verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You're supposed to die daily, which is hard to do. Your old nature is there, man. My old nature is there. And the more I grow, the more I get, you know, reading my Bible, it helps to my old nature to stay down. It doesn't go away. It's still there. My thinking's wrong. Everything, you know, like Paul said, what I would that I do not. And what I do not that I should do, you know, so on. But he says that in Romans chapter 7 here. Look at verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But being, that's not what I was looking for. Oh, I'm in six. All right. Look at
verse 15.
All right. 7. He said, that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. And what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to do right. I want to live right. For the will is present with me. He says, but now to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. He said, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I'm talking about the inward man. But I see another law in my members. Look what it says. Warring against the law of my mind. So you got to battle every day. And I'm going to tell you something. When you don't hang around with sin and mess with sin, the battle is a little easier.
Amen.
When you go and mess with sin, it's stirring it up. It's like stirring up dust. The more you mess with it, the harder it gets to, inside you saying, no, get away, get away. And you say, I can't. That's where drugs and stuff like that, drinking and all that stuff. You say, and the Lord says, get away, get away. Greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. I'll give you power to overcome this stuff. But you keep going back saying, no, I can't live without it. I got to have it. And then you go back and it's a battle. And then finally, that's why some people just say, that's it, I quit.
Right.
Some Christians even kill themselves.
No, that's right. Yep.
They say, I'm tired of fighting the battle. And if you just wouldn't hang with it,
Amen.
You know what I had to do after I got saved? I had to stay away from my old friends.
Amen, preacher.
And when I did get around them, I had to put Jesus Christ up front.
Amen.
I had to put him out there and say, Lord, hey, I would like for you guys to come to church. Man, are you saved? And they finally got tired of me preaching to them all the time. They left me alone.
Right.
But after I got saved, man, it was like, I'm telling you, I knew it was a spiritual battle because I didn't know no Bible. But I knew something was going on because before I was saved, I was always trying to get something, drugs, trying to have money, had to get it, women, and drinking and all that stuff. And after I get saved, the stuff just, I'm trying to do right. All this stuff was wanting to be given to me.
Right. Yeah.
And so here, and I've had all kinds of things happen, wanted to be given to me. Then it scared me. I said, there's something not natural here. There's something that it's not natural. I had enough sense then, and I said, man, boy, the devil's trying to get me back in the old life. Because the devil can't get your soul. He'll get your family, get your wife, get your children, get your life. Ruin you. He says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. And bringing me into what?
Captivity.
What the devil wants to do is put you back in chains.
Right.
God freed you from the chain. Now he wants to put you back in it. It's only, and here's the deal. Only you can let him.
That's right, preacher.
A lot of people just conscientious objectors. I give up. Just take me back. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And they came out of Egypt. They said, it was better for us in Egypt.
Yeah.
We had the melons. We had all that stuff down in Egypt. It was better. And Moses said, you were slaves.
Right.
You were being killed.
Right.
You were being beat.
Amen.
You're going through hell and you're crying out to God. You want to go back? That's what a lot of Christians want to do. I got saved. I don't want to go back.
Amen.
I've had every opportunity to go back. Every opportunity's been in front of me. And you know what? And the devil will try to blindside you. Or the flesh will try to blindside you. He'll try to come at you at another angle. And that's why you've got to put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
That you might be able to stand in the evil day. You're going to have a day when if the presence of the evil is going to come after you so heavy, they try to drag you back and try to put a chain on you. And that's where the fighting comes. Fighting sin. So when Paul wrote this down, he knew what he was talking about. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And we've all been down that, and like I said, some Christians just give up and they yield to it and then they end up miserable lives. Then they blame God. They blame God for their failures when it's not God's fault. He's already provided for you. Now look at chapter 6 again, and let's go back there. For God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And that's what the baptism is a type of. It's not talking about water here. We got saved. We got baptized through the blood. You're in the body of Jesus Christ. And what this water does, when I baptize people, I say, buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, and walk in newness of life. So it's a type of you dying yourself with Jesus Christ and raising up and letting him run your life. That's what it is. And when you follow in the Lord, that's the first step, following the Lord in believer's baptism, saying, Lord, I want to walk with you. I didn't get baptized till a year after I got saved. And for that year after I got saved, I was like this, man. I was, and finally, Linda and I got married at 19. And we wanted to do what's right. We got married. We got baptized. We got into church. We started running the bus ministry. And we were just happy. And then the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and told me he wanted to preach. I scared me half to death. What I tell people all the time, you just stay busy. God knows where you're at. And when he wants to use you, you just be faithful. God, the doctor used to say, God never uses a lazy man. He never uses a man that's not busy.
That's right.
What happens is we sit back and say, I'm too good for that.
There it is.
I can't, well, I'm better than that. I've been called to preach.
Yeah.
I ain't doing that. I ain't going to clean no toilet. I ain't going to scrub no floor. I ain't gonna clean no bus. I ain't going to do that. The Lord says, okay, then you can stay right where you're at and be unhappy. You say, how do you know that? Because I was that way. I fought against it. I said, man, I went to Bible school. I told you about sitting outside the Sunday school class, the old farmer teaching. I said, that old farmer can't teach me nothing. I'm a sinner. So you get to the place where you think, I'm too good for that. Then God says, you ain't ready yet.
Yep.
You ain't ready yet. And he might not even call you to go pastor church. He might not call you to go do something else. He might just call you to be faithful.
Amen.
But the problem is, everybody's always looking somewhere else. Over there, grass looks a little greener over there. I'll go over there. And that's how the devil gets you so sidetracked, you'd be chasing your tail.
Amen.
Run around, and then waste. I know guys I went to school with, they wasted 20 years trying to figure out the will of God. The will of God is do what you're supposed to do where you're at. Look at verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When you get saved, there's a new walk. You used to walk like the old man. Now you walk like the new man. You ever notice children end up walking like their parents? I used to walk behind Samson when he was a kid, and I said to my wife, I said, he walks funny. He has his butt up in the air, and he walks like he's like that. And I said, he's walking funny. She said, you walk just like that. He's walking just like you. I said, no, I don't walk like that. She said, so I watched myself walking in the glass as I walked by a store, and I went, oh, man. I tried to change the way I walked. I used to walk like a brother, you know. Better than a sister. You ever notice how people's walk change when they go perverted?
Yeah. That's right.
Their walk changes?
No,
I'll preach. Now, we're supposed to walk. You're supposed to walk like the Father, like Jesus. I don't think Jesus walked like this. I don't think Jesus walked like that. You know what I believe? I believe Jesus walked like a man. Yeah. He walked like a man. And we're supposed to, and now when it comes to walking here, it's talking about walking in righteousness.
Amen.
Be careful with little feet where you go. Careful little hands what you touch. Careful little eyes where you see. You got to be careful where you walk. If you're taking this body down to the local bar, you're taking this body to the drug dealer's house.
Yeah.
You're taking this body to places where it shouldn't be going.
Amen.
You're not walking right.
Amen, preacher.
You're not walking in newness of life.
That's right.
You're supposed to be walking in newness of life. He says, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, notice it says planted. A person's, when they die, we plant them. We plant them in the ground. And you're supposed to be planted. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the Lord says, let the old man die. The old man is the anger, the foul mouth, the drinking, the carrying on, mistreating your children, mistreating your wife,
amen,
mistreating your husband. All that stuff is the old man. Yeah. You're supposed to not be like the old man anymore.
Amen.
You're supposed to serve God and be like him. That might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. So sin should not have dominion over us. And the only way sin can have dominion over us is if we allow it. So do you still sin? Yes, I do. My thoughts, but you've got to keep clean, because if you don't, that thing will go to your heart. And if it goes to your heart, then you love sin more than you love God. And what happens is most Christians is this. We're all this way. We're all guilty. We hate sin in your life more than we hate it in our life.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why we're so hard sometimes on other people, because we hate your sin. I hate you. I hate your sin. No, you're supposed to hate sin in your own life.
Amen. Amen.
To the point of not killing yourself, to the point of making it right between you and God.
Amen.
And not, you know, saying, Lord, I want to please you. Without faith, it's impossible pleasing. And I want to please God. We're going to have to stop right there. Y'all getting anything from this? All right, we'll stop right there, take a break. I've got about